Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, singing Alleluia, Alleluia.
Welcome to the Go and Teach Bible Study broadcast presented by the Monte Vista Church of Christ in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Ken Leach, preacher at Monte Vista, and your host for the next 30 minutes or so. The great prophet Isaiah once said, "Come, let us reason together." That expresses well what I hope to achieve on these radio programs.
Last week, we began a series of lessons concerning attitudes. Our thesis was that if God said in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17, that all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God might be adequate for every good work, then the Bible is that source of information that will allow us to have good attitudes. I don't think anyone would argue with the fact that having a good attitude is a good work, and having a bad attitude is a bad work. Well, if, as the scripture we just read says, that God gives us a training mechanism here in the Bible to bring us to every good work, well then, attitudes would certainly be included in that, wouldn't it? Last week, we began this series of lessons, a series that had been presented before on this radio program, and I plan, Lord willing, to present this series every 2 years for our remembrance. I don't know if you're like me, but about every so often I start to forget the things that are important, and I need to remind myself. So in this series of lessons, it's a repeated series, but I would suggest to you that I'm preaching it for me, and if you want to listen, well, then that's up to you. We started talking last week about anger, and we closed our lesson concerning God warning us against anger regardless of the cause of that anger. Let me just stop and say right here that if you are interested in receiving a free CD of these lessons, then you can access our website at www.montevistacoc.com, and we'll provide for you a CD so that you might have a permanent record of the thoughts that are being presented. There's never any charge for this service. We just think that the information is so valuable that you might want a free copy of that CD. If you can't achieve that through our website, well then just give me a call on 602-818-6808. And if you'll do that, that's 602-818-6808. I'll take down the information that we need to mail the CD to you, and we'll get it out just as quickly as we can. After the consideration of the information that we gave last week, those of us who have a problem with anger are faced with a choice. We can be like the blind man of the 9th chapter of the book of John, and we can obey Jesus, and we can be healed. Or we can be like the rich young ruler of Matthew 19 and verse 22 that went away sorrowful, not willing to make the sacrifice to do that which was right. Where do those of us who want to change begin? Any change begins with repentance. Repentance is more than just being sorry. Repenting is wanting to change. Now I would ask, what if our want-to power is weak? Well, we can strengthen that by spending time studying God's Word, and our want-to power will become strong. True repentance seeks forgiveness from God and from others, those that we have harmed by our anger. We need to recognize that anger is not intrinsically sinful. Did you know that over 80 times in the Old Testament, the Bible says that God was angry. Angry feelings are mostly like uninvited guests. Although we can't control their coming, we can control our response to them being there. Emotions are given to man by God, and when those emotions are managed, they're good. They motivate us. Passion, for instance, is an emotion, and that produces intimacy and reproduction. Fear is an emotion, and it motivates us from a positive standpoint to caution. Anger is an emotion, and it motivates us in a positive sense to deal with a problem. For example, a squeaky door that should have been fixed a long time ago. Every time that you hear it, you feel angry or irritated. Well, you have some choices. You can yell at someone that you told to fix it over and over again. You can tear it off the hinges. That'll certainly fix the squeak. Or you can get some oil and fix the door. The first attack the world. The last attack the problem. God's first and most effective method for handling angry feelings, in fact, this method eliminates a lot of them before we even have to have some special program to handle them, is the new man or the replacement method. Let me talk to you about God's method for a minute. Paul teaches that in Romans, the 6th chapter. He talks about the old you and the new you. Ephesians, the 4th chapter, beginning in verse 22, even gets more specific in the implementation of that new life. If you have your Bible with you, turn with me to the book of Ephesians, and let's read chapter 4, beginning in verse 22 and reading through verse 24. Paul wrote that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and the holiness of truth. Isn't it amazing how scientists of the world have recently discovered, that's discovered, quote, unquote, that same information given in Ephesians. The scientists call it behavioral modification. Behavioral modification teaches us to quit doing something by doing something else in its place. Well, God has used that for a long time, hasn't He? In Ephesians 4 and verse 25, He says, quit lying by telling the truth. In Ephesians 4, verse 31 and 32, He says, get rid of anger and rage and slander and brawling by being kind, compassionate, and forgiving. Now, God knows that the patterns of the old you are often stronger than the faith of the new you. You know how He knows that? Because He made us. He knows man better than anyone. So God has given us some fundamental methods of dealing with anger, and those will last until we're mature enough to let the new you neutralize the old you. Let's call those methods back to basics. There's 7 of them that I've written down for our consideration. First, we'll call the drop it methods. That's based on Proverbs 17 and verse 14, where the Bible says, it's hard to stop a quarrel once it starts, so don't let it start. That's the Living Bible translation. That simply means to shut your mouth, take a walk, mind your own business before the fight starts. Now, this is one of those times in our study together that we notice that the cure is a lot easier to say than it is to do. My grandmother would say, that's where the rub comes in, is putting into place these methods that seem so simple but are so hard not only to start but to keep going. The second method that God gives us we'll call the hold it method. That's in direct conflict with the explode theory that we talked about in our last program. In Proverbs 29 and verse 11, the Bible says, "A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in until afterward." That's the King James Version. Listen to the Living Bible Version. "A rebel shouts in anger. A wise man holds his temper, holds it in, and cools it." That's not teaching us to internalize anger, but to control our anger by holding back our reaction to see if things will quiet down. The third method that God gives us in controlling our anger and becoming this new man, we'll call the "Are You Listening?" method. In James 1 and verse 19, the Bible says, "Let everyone be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger." How many angry feelings are predicated on misunderstandings? Misunderstandings that are caused by not listening. How many times do we say, "Well, if I'd known that's what you said," and then go on to say that we would have reacted differently? The fourth method that God gives us in controlling our anger until we reach the status of the new man is to close our mouth and think. Proverbs 15 and verse 28 says, "A good man thinks before he speaks. The evil man pours out his evil words without a thought." The righteous man asks some questions before he speaks. First of all, the righteous man asks, "Is what I'm about to say true?" Second, "Is what I'm about to say fair?" Third, "Is what I'm about to say, will it bring unnecessary pain?" I would like you to ask yourself a question. Would you like everything that's true about you to be printed on the front page of the Arizona Republic? I think not. Neither would I, because there are some things that are true about me that are simply not fair to say. There are some things that are true about me that will bring unnecessary pain, and we need to take those things into consideration. We need to close our mouth and think before we react. A fifth way that God has given us to achieve this mature status called the new man is to remove ourselves from a tempting situation. Get away from it. God teaches that in the 32nd and the 33rd chapter of the book of Exodus. If you'll remember from your Old Testament Bible study, that's when God told the Israelites that they were so stubborn and so rebellious and it provoked him to such anger that he might even destroy them off the face of the earth. Therefore, he would send an angel in his place to guide them into the land of Canaan. God wasn't avoiding the problem. He had already dealt with the problem of the golden calf. He was just removing himself from being tempted because of his anger. In Proverbs 22 and verse 3, we see the same principle taught. There the Bible says, "A prudent man foresees the difficulties ahead and prepares for them. A simpleton goes blindly on and suffers the consequences." A sixth step that God gives us to overcome anger in this process of putting on the new man, we'll call cool it. Proverbs 15 and verse 1 says, "A soft answer turns away wrath, but harsh words cause quarrels." Do you realize that the gentleness of your voice is a dynamic tool in controlling your anger and the angers of others? If you have your Bible handy, turn with me, if you would, to the book of Proverbs. A great book, the book of Proverbs. Chapter 27 is where I would like you to turn to verse 14. There the Bible says, "He that bless his friend with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, it shall be counted a curse to him." The gentleness of our voice. My wife and I, several years ago, more than I'd like to count, I suppose, had a dog by the name of Midnight. And that dog was a pretty good dog. And when I first decided to preach this series of lessons, I thought, well, I'll do an experiment with our dog Midnight. Midnight loved dog bones. I'm telling you, you could get him to wake up. He would wake up when you opened the dog bone box. I don't know how he knew that, even if he is in a different room. But anyway, I got a dog bone biscuit, and I went out, and I said, Midnight, you get over here and eat this dog bone. Well, Midnight ran and hid it. I don't know why he hid from me, but yet I do know it was the inflection of my voice, wasn't it? Well, then I continued the experiment. And I said, Midnight, come over here, good boy. I'm going to just beat you within an inch of your life. Well, his tail started wagging and his tongue hung out, and he run right over to me. Well, that proves a point, doesn't it? The way we say something is often just as important as the things that we say. I've heard doctors say that the muscles have to be rigid in our throat to speak angrily. So let me suggest to you, just relax and speak gently. The seventh point that I'd like to bring to your attention for your consideration concerning overcoming angry feelings is called speaking the truth in love. If you've tried the first six steps and you still have angry feelings, not able to forgive and forget, then you're at the point of speaking the truth in love. Remember what love is. Love is defined the best, I think, by God's Word. In 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, there's the famous statements of the Apostle Paul concerning love. Look at 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, and let's begin reading in verse 7. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But if there's gift of prophecy, they'll be done away. If there are tongues, they'll cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away. Wow. Love is important, isn't it? If we back up to the fourth verse, we learn that love is patient, it's kind, it's not jealous, it doesn't brag, it's not arrogant, it doesn't act unbecomingly, it doesn't seek its own, it's not provoked, it doesn't take into account a wrong suffered, it doesn't rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with truth. Love. Speaking the truth in love. If we have a problem with a person that engenders anger in our heart that we can't get over, we need to go to that person and talk about the problem. Look, if you would, with me in the book of Romans, the great book to the Romans that the Apostle Paul wrote in chapter 12, verse 17, beginning, passage that I'd like to take into consideration, chapter 12, verse 17, 18, and 19. There Paul wrote, never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Be hard to misunderstand that, wouldn't it? Well, the basics that we've been talking about on the subject of overcoming anger are so simple that we often ignore them. We stand looking for a more complex solution. That's sort of like Naaman in 2 Kings, the 5th chapter. If you have your Bible handy, turn with me to 2 Kings, the 5th chapter, and let's read about Naaman. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable because by him Jehovah had given victory unto Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out in bands and had brought away captives out of the land of Israel, and in that a little maiden, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said to her mistress, "What that my lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, then he would recover him of his leprosy." And one went in and told his lord, saying, "Thus and thus saith the maiden that is in the land, is from the land of Israel." And the king of Syria said, "Go, and I'll send a letter to the king of Israel." And he departed, and he took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "And now when this letter has come unto you, behold, I have sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him from leprosy." And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes, and he said, "I am God, or am I God, to kill and to make alive, that this man does send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? But consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel with me." And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariots and stood at the door of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shall be clean." But Naaman was wroth, and he went away and said, "Behold, I thought he would surely come to me and stand and call on the name of Jehovah his God and wave his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not the Abana and the Parphar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. Note, if you would, that Naaman heard the cure. The cure was simple. It could have been accomplished with barely any inconvenience at all. He was already there. And he went away in a rage. He was so upset. You know why he was so upset? Because the answer to his problems wasn't what he thought it should be. He didn't perceive that the answer was complex enough to cure a complex problem. We're like that sometimes with biblical information, such as information on overcoming anger. We are so disappointed in ourselves at time and have suffered so many adverse consequences because of our outbursts of anger that we think that there has to be some just terribly complex method to get over it. But that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible, as we have seen in our lesson, teaches simple steps to overcome the attitude of anger. And we, like Naaman, have a choice. We can turn our back and be angry because we didn't hear what we wanted to hear, or we can be like Naaman was after he stopped and thought about it for a while, and we can do what God said, and we can achieve the same thing with regard to our growing up process in Christ as Naaman did concerning his physical malady. Naaman was cleansed after he dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan River, as he was instructed to do. And you and I can put on the new man and put away the old man with regard to our feelings of anger if we'll follow the simple steps that have been brought forth in these 2 programs. I wonder if we will follow the will of God or if we will continue to be plagued by the problem of uncontrolled anger. Thank you so much for listening. I pray that this week we will have ample, if not extra, opportunity to let a bright light shine for Jesus Christ.
Thank you for joining me today. If you enjoy Bible-centered study, why not come visit the Monte Vista Church of Christ? We're located on the west side of 40th Street between McDowell and Thomas Roads. 2202 North 40th Street is our address. We have Bible classes for all ages each Sunday morning at 9:30 and each Wednesday evening at 7. Everyone interested in God's revelation to man is welcome. We also assemble for worship following our Sunday morning Bible classes, and then again on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. Until next time, this is Ken Leach, hoping you have unlimited opportunity to let your light shine for Jesus Christ.
Amen.